tweet.
Sorry.
Okay, so big welcome, and if you've just come, especially now, join us, a very big welcome. If you've been coming all the time, a very big welcome. And just to remind you, because you did get the link in the email that you were sent, that we do have a dedicated retreat website where recordings of sessions, both video and audio recordings, and I think probably some of the readings will be put up. And apologies that the Friday night one isn't, there's been a whole lot of technical problems that we've been trying to deal with for like a day and an evening. So it may or may not get up there, but anyway, Saturday, this morning's one is up, and this afternoon is up, and it's really worth hearing Maitri Pushpa's talk at the beginning of the 10:30 session. If you can't listen to all of it, maybe make an effort just to hear that, which sort of sets up the retreat and the theme of this reflecting and opening and sort of having that perspective of or being informed by impermanence, and that whole idea that of sort of being with where we are now rather than trying to be somewhere else, you know. And that part of the reflection will be looking back, part of the reflection and the opening is to what's emerging, and hopefully as we move into New Year's Day, there'll be maybe a sense of aspirations and intentions for the new year. But tonight is an evening of practice and ritual. And we'll be doing mantra chanting, we'll be doing a threefold puja and meditation. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit about devotional practice and mantra, and even teaching us a couple of mantras and also some devotional verses in Pali, which are basically reverencing the three jewels, which we will then later on include in the threefold puja. And I'm going to say a little bit about Akshobhya, who Maitri Pushpa was mentioning earlier, and his mirror-like wisdom, because we thought he would be a good figure to have on the retreat with us, looking over us, and particularly in terms of his imperturbability, the fact that he's unshakable, and the fact that he has this mirror-like wisdom. Anyway, I will say more about him later, but for the moment, let's start with a little bit of mantra chanting, or thinking about what are we doing when we're chanting a mantra. Earlier in the afternoon, we did do a bit of mindfulness of sounds as a meditation. You could see mantra chanting as another meditation where we're actually meditating on the mantra that we're chanting, you know, and it's a very visceral, physical activity when we chant, because we can feel the vibrations in our bodies and around us. And you can chant, do mantra chanting by yourself, you can do mantra chanting collectively. In fact, it's really great to do it in a room with other people, because there's a whole sense of you're doing your voice and everybody's voice is blending together, so we really get a sense of connection and interconnection. So I'm guessing most people here will have done some mantra chanting, but if you haven't, it can be a practice in itself, and you usually have a few words or phrases, and as Buddhists we often do ones that are in Pali or Sanskrit, so they don't make that much sense to our rational mind, but they might be associated with particular qualities or a particular wish, like wanting all living beings to be happy, or quality of compassion, quality of wisdom, quality of energy or something. And maybe also with an archetypal enlightenment being, a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, sometimes we chant their names as a way of connecting with them and their qualities. maybe calling them to bring them more present, but also with all these figures, there's the idea that we can become like the Buddha. We've got all these qualities within us, so when we're chanting them, there is both a acknowledgement of gratitude and inspiration towards the figure, but also our own aspiration, our own potential to be like them, to become them, you know, with all those qualities. A mantra's also got the kind of meaning of like protection and protecting the mind. Certainly I find that there's times when I've been quite distressed and finding it really hard to meditate. One time I remember after my father died, I found for quite a while I was finding it quite hard to meditate. But what I did find I was able to do was mantra chanting as a practice, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, which got me grounded in a way, had quite a lot of the same effects as meditation. And I know that that can be the case for other people as well. So we're going to be chanting Akshobhya's mantra, so this blue Buddha, Akshobhya, who's very much associated with wisdom. He's the head of all the wisdom Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Interestingly enough, he's also the head of all the wrathful figures that you may have seen with the flames and they're stomping on people or attacking people. That idea that sometimes we do need some wrathful energy or anger to sort of clear away the things that get in the way. Yeah. But he's also particularly associated with metta, you know, and transforming ill will and hatred into kindness. And he does that through his mirror-like wisdom. So I'm talking about Akshobhya, I've already got into that, but it felt like if we're going to chant his mantra, we need to find out a bit about him. So mirror-like wisdom. If you look into a mirror or a sort of still body of water, what is reflected back is whatever's in its field, you know. And when things pass away, it's not in the field. So if you lean forward and you're looking in a mirror, then hopefully it will reflect back exactly what's there. Unless it's one of those fancy ones they have at fairgrounds that distort things and things. And it's that whole idea of being able to see things clearly, see things as they are, without adding things, without taking away or ignoring things we don't want to be aware of, but to just see what's there, and not to react, just see it, just that mirror-like wisdom, seeing what's there, which I have found very helpful in my own practice, because sometimes we're sitting or we're aware of stuff or what comes up is difficult or challenging or we don't really want to see it. And then I would get into judging myself or blaming myself and, well, am I really thinking this or feeling this or what a mess I am and da-da-da-da-da, whatever it was. But practicing mirror-like wisdom is just to, oh, this is here, oh, this is here, oh, yeah, there's anger here, oh, yeah, there's a bit of jealousy there, oh, there's a bit of resentment there, oh, there's some fear here. And not getting into all of that blame or the judgment or all the habitual trains of thought and stories that I used to get into. So just trying to see what's there. And from Buddhist perspective, you know, wisdom and enlightenment is very much associated with aligning ourselves with reality and seeing things as they really are. Yeah. Not out of our conditioning, not out of our views or what we've absorbed around us from society's values and views, but reality from a Buddhist point of view. Yeah, and that includes an awareness that things are conditioned, things arise, pass away, depending on changing conditions, that things are impermanent, that there's suffering in the world. Yeah, there is dukkha, you know, everyone experiences dukkha. Yeah. All different kinds of dukkha may be individual experiences, but that is there. Yeah. And if we keep on trying to avoid it and run away from it, that's never going to work. You know, if we take it very personally, if we get very dramatic about it, it's not necessarily going to help us. It might just add to our suffering. So if we can just be aware, oh yeah, that's dukkha. Yeah, that's unpleasant in my life. at the moment, or I'm having this physical sensation that's unpleasant, and that is dukkha. We can kind of experience it in our bodies, you know, we can experience impermanence in our bodies. We can experience the fact that everything is in process, which is another key reflection from a Buddhist perspective that will help in our development of insight and our awakening process, we're told. So having that mirror-like wisdom and just seeing what's there, you know, whether it's the fact that I'm feeling really tired and I'm finding it hard to stay awake, or that my mind is very busy, or that I keep on drifting off, or that there's all this stuff going on and I'm in a lot of anxiety about it. If we're aware of what's there and we just see it and we can sit with it, that is part of cultivating this mirror-like wisdom. And it really helps, I think, in cutting through the judgments. If you just think, oh, just see what's there. This is here. Oh, this is here. Oh, this is here. And that'll change, you know, so you notice it changing as well. You know, it might be here this practice, but it might not be there tomorrow. Yeah. And what you were feeling last week might not be what you're feeling now. So again, just seeing what's there in our actual experience, moment by moment, but with an awareness of what's happened in the past, you know, informing what happens in the future, we can keep that continuity of mindfulness in our reflections. Yeah. So Akshobhya has this mirror-like wisdom, and he's supposed to be unshakable, imperturbable, and he's got his hand in that what we call the earth-touching mudra, which references the story of the Buddha's enlightenment, where at a certain point he's being challenged about what right has he to think that he can get enlightened, and you know, in a way, this figure Mara trying to undermine his belief in himself, his confidence, you know, trying to stop him in his practice, in his aim, and to awaken his heart and his mind. And at that point, the Buddha touches the earth, and the earth goddess springs up and bears witness to the Buddha and to all the practice he's done, and that he is indeed worth and worthy of sitting in that particular place and becoming awakened like all the other awakened beings and Buddhas in the past. So for me, there's something also about touching the earth being very grounding and very reassuring. And when we're doubting ourselves, doubting our practice, just being aware of that contact with the ground, or even just mimicking that gesture of touching the earth, can be quite helpful or reassuring. And he's dark blue, so that's why I'm wearing a blue shirt and why I've changed my shrine to have the blue. And you may notice that there's an elephant there, because traditionally he sits on a moon mat and a lotus throne that's supported by elephants. And I don't think it's an accident he's got elephants, because again, the elephants, they're like very steady, aren't they? It'd be very hard to just push over an elephant, you know. They're not going to be blown about as easily as, leaf, dandelion or something. And they also have a lot of wisdom, don't they? And they have a lot of connection and a lot of love within their communities. And they, you know, the matriarchs remember, and they go and visit the graves of past members of their communities years and years later. And they help each other. You know, and they don't just help each other. I remember seeing a really nice little video, I know, on YouTube. I kind of got into sometimes watching all these animal videos, particularly when animals are helping each other. Or anyway, but there was one where there was a picture of a little hippopotamus, a baby hippopotamus that was basically drowning. He wasn't able to get out of the river, and there didn't seem to be any other hippopotamuses within sight. They probably tried to help it and then given up. And then this small herd of elephants come along and they rescue it, you know. And I just thought that's just a real expression of metta, in a way. So that's why he has elephants, I think. They also have a lot of wisdom, don't they? And he's very much about wisdom. So that's probably enough to say about Akshobhya. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn his mantra and chant it in two different ways. So with mantras, sometimes we just do it on a plain note, just again and again and again on a plain note. To me, sometimes that's kind of quite visceral. You can really feel the vibrations in the body in a particular kind of way. And then also sometimes we do mantras to melodies, and what will often happen is that the melody has an effect on our hearts and we just feel ourselves opening with the melody. So we're going to do it in two versions. So the words of his mantra are Om Vajra Akshobhya Hum. So Vajra, Diamond Thunderbolt, we'll find out more about that probably later in the retreat. And some of you may be familiar with Vajra the cat, who has been coming along sometimes in our sessions with Maitri Pushpa. But he's associated with the Vajra, which is a symbol of wisdom. So it's Om Vajra Akshobhya Hum. Yeah. So first of all, we'll just have a go at doing it as a plain mantra, and I'll start it off and then join in. It's not singing. You'll probably find it more effective if you actually give it a little bit of welly, and especially online, no one else can hear you, so don't worry about that, because if you're just going, you're not really going to feel it in your body, and it's not really going to get your energy flowing. Yeah. Okay. And if the pitch that I'm doing at doesn't work with your voice, just choose whatever pitch works for you. Om Vajra Akshobhya Hum. 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 Om Vajra Adurak Shobhyahom. Om Vajrak 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 Shobhyahom. Okay, so now we're going to learn a melodic version. So it's still the same phrase, Om Vajrak Shobhyahom, but it has four little phrases that make up this mantra, yeah, which are repeating the same phrase each time, but the music changes. So again, it starts off. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. Maybe try that. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. One more time. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. And then the next phrase is Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. So let's try that a couple more times. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. See if we can do the two together. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. And the third line, and we're calling out to Akshobhya. Om Vajrak Shobhyahom. Om Vajrak Shobhyah. Om Vajrak Shobhyah. And then the final line is similar to that, but instead of going down at the end, you go up, you stay up. So, Om Vajrak Shobhyah. Om Vajrak Shobhyah. Om Vajrak Shobhyah. Okay, so let's do the third and fourth together. Om Vajrak Shobhyah. And then you just go back to the beginning and keep doing that. Those four lines. So I'm going to start us off, and you can listen to it for a little bit and join in. Or just listen to it if you don't want to join in. Do what you want. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Om Vajrakshobhya Om. Vajrakshobhya. So we'll be including those in the threefold puja later on. But for now, we're going to have a period of just sitting. Yeah. And that sitting with your experience, opening to it, whatever it is. Welcoming whatever is there. And trying to see if we can just bring some of that mirror-like wisdom. Of just seeing what's there, being with what's there, not judging, not pushing it away, not grasping, just, okay, this is going on, I'm thinking this, I'm feeling this, my energy's like this, this is what I'm experiencing in my body. And I was quite struck by Maitri Pushpur earlier talking about that the reflection doesn't just have to be us thinking about stuff, that we can actually just by being with what's happening, and especially being with what's happening in our body, that can also be a form of reflection. So I'm going to do a short reading from Lama Rod Owens, and then we'll just have a period of just sitting for about 20 minutes, which will be unled with three bells at the end. The body tells the truth, regardless of if we speak its language or not. Often my practice has focused on trying to meet my body where it is, instead of constantly trying to get it to meet me where I am. Just sitting. as you end the meditation, taking care gentle transition maybe your focus has been inward but staying in touch with that but then opening to the world around you with an awareness of the others on the retreat. And we're going to have a 5-minute leg stretch or just a chance to move around. So try and come back for 5 to 8. And we'll be ending with a 3-4 puja with mantras, but also a little bit beforehand as well. So, see you in 5. So when we chant mantras, when we take part in rituals, that can be part of our devotional practice, but it doesn't just have to be restricted to that. But for me, devotional practice is when, in a way, I'm surrendering a little bit of my rational mind and going more with my heart and my faith and what touches me and inspires me around the Buddha and his teachings and the community, including the community of enlightened beings like the archetypal Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, of which Akshobhya is one, though we may be more familiar with figures like Amitabha or Green Tara. But there's that very lovely rupa or statue that we can see in Maitri Pushpa's window of Manjushri, who's another enlightened being, and in a way they speak to us in the language of archetype and symbol and myth and reverberate in our psyches and imaginations on a different kind of level sometimes, which is not about thinking or understanding. And I used to be very resistant to all of that, to all kinds of ritual, and very dismissive and very cynical, and the point when I actually let go of doing that and just allow myself to give it a go and see what that was like was quite significant for me. And devotional practice has become very important to me and very significant in my life, I think. And you know, it's not for everybody, and it doesn't matter if it's not for you, but even just joining in a collective practice can be, you know, a nice experience, even if it doesn't touch you in other ways. But sometimes, just again, that opening, we're reflecting and we're opening, well, open to the ritual and see what happens. You know, did anything happen when you did the chanting? You know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but during the course of the retreat, maybe there will be a time when it maybe just touches you or something happens. So we're going to be doing a ritual in call and response, which is mostly going to be in English, and that's a 3-fold puja where we have sets of verses, where we're basically paying our respects to the 3 jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, you know, which is going right back to the Buddha's time when he gave people teachings and they felt inspired, and they, some of them would want to follow him, but even if they didn't join his band of followers, they might want to follow him and his teachings and practices, and they would say, to the Buddha for refuge I go, to the Dharma for refuge I go, to the Sangha for refuge I go. So the term Buddha, it's not his name, it's actually a title, which is kind of often translated as one who is awake, or the awakened one. Yeah. And you could see all of our practice as us being involved in a process of awakening. You know, we're trying to develop more awareness through mindfulness, more kindness, more compassion, other qualities, but that is all part of this process of awakening our hearts and our minds, yeah, gaining insights but also gaining compassion and wisdom. So most rituals at some point are coming to pay our respects to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, acknowledging gratitude, that feeling inspired by them, but also that desire that we too can become awakened, you know. So, there'd be words in the puja about that. But before we do that, because sometimes after the second set of verses, we might chant what are called the refuges and precepts. But I felt I wanted to do something a little bit different this time, which is still paying respect to the three jewels. But it's just some verses from, well, verses that protect the truth, they're called. And it's just another way of approaching that. And the basic meaning is there's no other refuge but enlightenment or becoming awakened. But it's there for us as well. And by the virtue of this truth, may grace abound and victory and success kind of thing. And then basically, so the Buddha, it says, as meaning the awakened one or being awake. And it also says there's no other refuge but the Dharma and the teaching. So there's Dharmo. And also no other refuge but the community or the fellowship of practitioners and particularly of enlightened beings. And I just really like these verses and I really like the tune. So what we're going to do just before we do the puja is we're just going to learn, it's the same tune for each verse. The only thing that changes is that in the first verse it's Buddho, in the second verse it's Dharmo, and in the third verse it's Sangho. So Sova Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And then when we do the threefold puja, after the first verse, we'll chant that plain Akshobhya mantra. After the second set of verses, we'll chant the ones that we're about to learn. And then at the very end, we'll chant the melodic Akshobhya mantra. And I think one of the reasons we include mantras and chanting in rituals is because they do tend to open our hearts. They do tend to get us more emotionally engaged. And we want to be able to practice with body, speech and mind, and with not just our rational mind. Yeah. So just see what happens. And if you don't want to join in, you can just listen. Okay, so again, I think what I'll do is I'll sing a line and I'll give you a chance to repeat it. So Nati me saranam anyam. Shall I try that? Nati me saranam anyam. Hotu me saranam anyam. Oops, sorry, I got the wrong word there, yeah. Buddho me saranam varam. Etena satyavajena hotu me jayamangalam. So every verse has that exact same tune, and all that changes is that you go from Buddho to Dharmo to Sangho. So let's try it with me singing a line. And then I'll sing it again and you can join in. And then I'll sing the next line and you sing along with join in. Nati me saranam anyam. Nati me saranam anyam. me sabanang varam etena sachavajena etena sachavajena hotu me jaya mangalam hotu me jaya mangalam. So what you may have noticed is that we pronounce the am, like saranam anyam, actually as ang. So it's saranang anyang, saranang varang, jayamangalam. Yeah. And the other thing is that when you get to the satchavajina, the two C's have a ch sound. So let's try and sing it and then carry on, because it's the same tune, just substituting Buddha for Dharma or Sangho. Nati me saranang anyang, Buddho me saranang varang, etena satchavajena, hotu me jayamangalang. Nati me saranang anyang, Dhammo me saranang varang, etena satchavajena, hotu me jayamangalang. Nati me saranang anyang, Sangho me saranang varang, etena satchavajena, hotu me jayamangalang. And then we just say homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha, and then sadhu, which is peace, we say three times. So the last bit of is Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Then you go sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So let's just have a go at the last bit, the Namo Buddhaya and the sadhus. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with the sadhus, the first two go down, but the last one just stays on the same. So let's just see if we can sing through all those verses, and then we'll get on to the puja. Nati me saranang anyang, Buddho me saranang varang, etena satchavajena, hotu me jayamangalang. Nati me saranang anyang, Dhammo me saranang varang, etena satchavajena, hotu me jayamangalang. Nati me saranang anyang,
Sang ho me saranang varang. Etena satyavajena hotu me jayamangalam. Namo buddhaya. Namo dhammaya. Namo sanghaya. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Okay, so we're going to do the threefold puja, which has these three sections, the opening reverence, which is just one verse, and we're going to do it in call and response, and because with the Zoom it's terrible if everybody joins in because everyone's on different timings, it'll be me and Maitri Pushpa will be doing the responses, and then after the opening reverence we'll do a little bit of the plain Akshobhya mantra. Then we'll do three verses in call and response, which is reverence to the three jewels. And then we'll sing what we've just learnt. And then finally, in the third section, there's offerings to the Buddha verses, which we'll do in call and response. And if you've got your own shrine, and it might be worth thinking about making one if you haven't, however simple it is, you can make offerings while we do the mantras, either the one in the middle or the one at the end. Probably the one at the end may make more sense because it's after the verses about making offerings. And then we'll do the more melodic Akshobhya one. So it may sound complicated, but I'm sure it'll make sense once we're doing it. So, are you ready to go? Threefold puja. Okay, are we spotlit? Why is it showing on my screen? I don't know, anyway, never mind. Threefold puja. Opening reverence. We reverence the Buddha.
We reverence the Buddha.
The perfectly enlightened one.
The perfectly enlightened one.
The shower of the way.
The shower of the way.
We reverence the Dharma.
We reverence the Dharma.
The teaching of the Buddha.
The teaching of the Buddha.
Which leads from darkness to light.
Which leads from darkness to light.
We reverence the Sangha.
We reverence the Sangha.
The fellowship of the Buddha's disciples.
The fellowship of the Buddha's disciples.
That inspires and guides.
That inspires and guides.
Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. 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 Om
Shobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya 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 Hum. Reverence to the three jewels. We reverence the Buddha.
We reverence the Buddha.
And aspire to follow him.
And aspire to follow him.
The Buddha was born.
The Buddha was born.
As we are born.
As we are born.
What the Buddha overcame.
What the Buddha overcame.
We too can overcome.
What we too can overcome.
What the Buddha attained.
What the Buddha attained.
We too can attain.
We too can attain.
We reverence the Dharma.
We reverence the Dharma.
And aspire to follow it.
And aspire to follow it.
With body, speech, and mind until the end.
With body, speech, and mind until the end.
The truth in all its aspects.
The truth in all its aspects.
The path in all its stages.
The path in all its stages.
We aspire to study.
We aspire to study.
Practice.
Practice.
Realize.
Realize.
We reverence the Sangha.
We reverence the Sangha.
And aspire to follow it.
And aspire to follow it.
The fellowship of those who tread the way.
The fellowship of those who tread the way.
As one by one.
As one by one.
We make our own commitment.
We make our own commitment.
An ever-widening circle.
An ever-widening circle.
The Sangha grows.
The Sangha grows.
Nati me saranam anyam. Buddho me saranam varam. Etena sajavajena hotu me jayamangalam. Nati me saranam anyam. Dhammo me saranam varam. Etena sajavajena hotu me jayamangalam. Nati me saranam anyam. Sangho me saranam varam. Etena sajavajena hotu me jayamangalam. Namo Buddhaya. Namo Dhammaya. Namo Sanghaya. Sadhu. Sadhu. Offerings to the Buddha. Reverencing the Buddha.
Reverencing the Buddha.
We offer flowers.
We offer flowers.
Flowers that today are fresh and sweetly blooming.
Flowers that today are fresh and sweetly blooming.
Flowers that tomorrow are faded and fallen.
Flowers that tomorrow are faded and fallen.
Our bodies too.
Our bodies too.
Like flowers will pass away.
Like flowers will pass away.
Reverencing the Buddha.
Reverencing the Buddha.
We offer candles.
We offer candles.
To him who is the light, we offer light.
To him who is the light, we offer light.
From his greater lamp.
From his greater lamp.
A lesser lamp we light within us.
A lesser lamp we light within us.
The lamp of Bodhi shining within our hearts.
Lamp of Bodhi shining within our hearts.
Reverencing the Buddha.
Reverencing the Buddha.
We offer incense.
We offer incense.
Incense whose fragrance pervades the air.
Incense whose fragrance pervades the air.
The fragrance of the perfect life.
The fragrance of the perfect life.
Sweeter than incense.
Sweeter than incense.
Spreads in all directions throughout the world.
Spreads in all directions throughout the world.
Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya. Om Vajrakshobhya Hum. Om Vajrakshobhya. be our home. Om Vajrak Shobhya. 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 Vajrak Shobhya. Om Vajrak Shobhya. Om Vajrak Shobhya. Om Vajrak Shobhya. Thank you all for coming and practicing. And we'll be back tomorrow, 10:30 and 3:30 or 4, 7 o'clock again. And because it's New Year's Eve, we'll also have a late night session from 11 p.m. till 12:15 a.m. to see in the new year. So, be great to see you there.
But also pace yourself, and if you can't manage all of it, just come to what you can. Apart from the Friday night, all the sessions should be up on the retreat website, so you can catch up if you want. And yeah, we will also be trying to put readings up on the website as well, so yeah. But thank you, and we'll end there. So yeah, if you want to post something in the chat, but let's leave quietly.